The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Let me say it again.
The 2020 election was the most secure
election in American history.
Let me begin by asking a very simple question. Do we know the truth about what really happened in the 2020 election?
I think millions of Americans know something went wrong, and they have little pieces, and no one's really put it together.
We have been working on something big.
Show me the money.
True the Vote has the largest store of election intelligence for the 2020 elections in the world. No one has more data than we do. We identified in Atlanta 242 mules that went to an average of 24 drop boxes. But Philadelphia alone, we've identified more than 1,100 mules. This is organized crime.
Do you have video evidence?
4 million minutes of surveillance video around the country.
One night, this person, this mule, went across six counties to 27 different drop boxes.
Now we come to the most important question of all. Was the magnitude of vote trafficking enough to tip the balance in the 2020 presidential election?
It's not a leap to say this would have made a difference.
They have ruined Election Day in the United States of America. That's provable, and that's enough for me to fight the left with every fiber in my body.
Without free and fair elections, we are not a democracy. We are a criminal cartel masquerading as a democracy.
There you go. We wanted to play it again amid all of the noise. All of the noise. We're not going to be distracted this week as that movie makes its way into 200 theaters across the United States. It has its big online opening Saturday night. This is not Mike Lindell rambling on. Nothing against him. He's just not as eloquent as some of the ones that you saw in that roundtable discussion. You've got Charlie Kirk. You've got Eric Metaxas. You've got Dennis Prager. You've got Larry Elder. You've got Dinesh D'Souza, of course, the filmmaker. Sebastian Gorka. All of these individuals have radio programs, podcasts. They're reaching millions and millions of people. And the two or three among them that were skeptical going in, they saw the movie. They saw the evidence. They examined the evidence. So much of it's on video. And you've heard about the geo-tracking devices following them as these mules. They go to the Democrat PAC, the 501C or whatever they are. They get the stack of ballots, then they go to the drop boxes, then they go back to the pack, then they go to another drop box, then they go back and forth. In Georgia, on average, 24 different drop boxes? That's right. All the technology, all the evidence, and some of it on video. No wonder Obama's plant leaked the news out of the Supreme Court last night, even as the premiere of 2,000 Mules was just concluding on the East Coast. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. So much to get to on today's show. You can get to our live video stream, by the way, at our website. That would be thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. It takes you straight to the live stream page. And, of course, you've got also the podcasts that are posted there after the fact. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. So I was able to attend the premiere viewing last night amid the thunderous downpour of rain and tornadoes that were circling about the state of Oklahoma. We made it to the theater. We watched the film along with a few hundred other people. a few hundred other people that were very much into the film, that were talking loudly at some point, cheering in some cases. And they went right down the numbers and they showed the footage. They examined the evidence. You know what struck me is just how easy it would be to investigate this thoroughly, especially with what this group, True the Vote, has turned up. You just get if any law enforcement agency goes in, gets one of those mules, they've got them on camera. They've got their cell phone, their smartphone. They've got everything that they need. You go to one mule and you say, listen, how come you're going to, these are felonies. Now tell us about the group, the pack that you're getting the stack of ballots from. And were you getting paid? And you've got everything you need to expose this massive fraud. This is from Town Hall, reviewing the movie, Dinesh D'Souza's movie. After May 7th, 2022, there will exist, that's I guess the online release of this show, but of course, as you know, it premiered in movie theaters last night, May the 2nd. There will exist a dynamic in the nation that has not since America woke up on the morning after the election in 2020. It says, simply put, we were right. By we, I'm referring to everyone from the harshest critic of the vote fraud crowds, but who in the back of their mind couldn't have confidence in the often repeated lie, the most secure election in history, to people just like you and me, who had the audacity to ask about it and were told to shut up, sit down, or we'd be canceled. It says here, the premiere of Dinesh D'Souza's brand new film, 2,000 Mules, this week will provide the basis for that validation, as most people still believe it, and also provide the basis for law enforcement to begin arresting people, as D'Souza asked at the end of his documentary. What are they going to do with this now? That's the question. What are they going to do with this evidence now? They used this technology to put January 6 protesters in jail, the FBI. You know, there was one fascinating moment in this film where, separate and apart from the election steal, this same organization, True the Vote, when it found out about, I forget where the murder happened, but this 8-year-old girl, she's murdered, she's caught in the crossfire, and they used this technology, the same geo-tracking technology, to basically point out the 6 or 7 people, the suspects, that had to be, one of them had to be the murderer, because they were in the location and they got the time just to when the murder happened and so on and so forth. True the Vote turns this over to local law enforcement and now they've got the guys in jail. There's 2 suspects. That's amazing. And yet for thousands of vote fraudsters, They can't go. Someone, FBI at the federal level or someone at the local state level, whether it's Georgia, Pennsylvania alone had over 11. And this is just in a tiny sliver that they examined. Philadelphia, 1,100 mules taking stacks of ballots to ballot boxes. Oh, and by the way, at 1, 2, or 3 in the night, it's all there on video. It's all been captured. This town hall piece says, what I'm saying without reservation and with absolute science and evidence supporting it, using the evidence in the film from only a handful of regional locations, from only some of the states in question, Biden clearly lost. Clearly lost. It's remarkable, this True the Vote, what they came up with, considering how many counties or areas suspiciously the videos went missing, or there's supposed to be cameras on these Dropbox locations, but yet what film they were able to compile tells you all that you need to know. This is just a tiny little sliver. It's amazing, isn't it? There's plenty there, though. just from Philadelphia, just from Atlanta and other areas. Here's another one. This is the town hall piece. It says, and just to make sure that the possibility for false positives didn't ping as evidence, True the Vote raised the standard of proof 10 times beyond that which would be required to prove in a court of law. In other words, they just took the most obvious ones. These people that were going to PACs and drop boxes and back and forth and back and forth through the night, or in some cases over the course of 2, 3, 4 weeks. There's one point in the video where they also examined the runoff election in Georgia. You remember that? That happened on January 5th, 2021. And so they've examined some footage and noticed in and around that area, Fulton County, that on December 23rd, I think it was, people going to these drop boxes, the mules, in other words, they suddenly started to go with these blue surgical gloves over their hands. And True the Vote figured out that the day before, there was an election fraud case at a local level, I think across the nation somewhere, where they got to the person that was engaged in the fraud by his fingerprints on the drop box. And so the next day, some of these mules started showing up with the surgical gloves. It's just how you vote usually, right? 1 a.m. in the morning with blue surgical gloves on your hands and then cramming in more than one ballot. They were smart about it, though. They didn't take 500 ballots to one drop box. They took 7, 8, 9, and then they went to another drop box so that it wouldn't just be so obvious. They interviewed this guy talking about the 100 million votes that were mailed out because of COVID. That's part of the story, too. You know this. But he said that, you know, you heard the story where some of these addresses got 6, 7, and 8 ballots based upon people that had lived there before the current occupant. And how that when you just get the ballot in the envelope, in the mail, on the envelope, you've got all the information you need. You've got the place of residence. You've got the name of the voter. So if you help yourself to a stack of votes at some mysterious address or location, open it up, fill it out, seal it up, you're good to go. His point was, as Dinesh was interviewing him, is that the mass mail-in ballots going all across the nation makes it so easy to carry out fraud on a widespread level. And so they were able to pull it off. They were able to orchestrate the steal of the 242 mules in Georgia, by the way. And again, they examined it around the Atlanta area. This True the Vote organization also, if you remember what was happening in 2020, of course, they orchestrated the steal on November 3rd. But before that, there had been rioting going on all summer long, including in and around Atlanta multiple times. And so they use this same technology to find out that some of these same smartphone or cell phone signals, 242 of these mules, out of that number, 67 were also engaged in or involved in the Antifa riots. 67! You know how many of the BLM riots attracted? They attracted all those Trump supporters, right? Of course not. These are radicals. These are soldiers. They were ready to carry out war after the election. Should Donald Trump somehow pull off the re-election? That didn't turn out because of the steal, as we now know. But these are all the same people. They're all in bed with one another. It's no problem to burn down a city on the one hand, or to come over here and put in ballots, just stuff ballot boxes with fake ballots. That's pretty amazing. Listen to, by the way, we've talked about how that this is getting more traction. David Perdue running for the Georgia race down in Georgia, or the governor's race in Georgia, and how that he led off the debate stage. He led off with his opening comments last week saying that the election here in Georgia was rigged and stolen. Of course it was. He's running against Brian Kemp, a weak rhino Republican who did nothing to stop the steal. And his Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, he did nothing to stop the steal. But now listen to what Brian Kemp has to say after the fact. He's now trying to seek re-election, this career politician. Here's what he had to say in a recent debate, clip 8.
I was as frustrated as anyone else with the results, especially at the federal level. And we did something about it with Senate Bill 202.
We did something about the election. He's talking about the election, especially at the federal level. That would be the presidential election. And he did something about the disappointing results with, what did he say there? Senate Bill 202. Why did you have to change anything? Why did you have to add election integrity laws after the fact? If everything was perfect, if everything was just right, that's what they told us. But see, now the truth is coming out. It's undeniable. The town hall piece brings this out. The video evidence now shows it. This documentary went into all the Zuckerbucks that just came pouring into these swing states, these swing districts. And it was all meant to, well, it's COVID. We just want to contribute so that we make it easy for everybody to be able to vote. And so all these drop boxes are put in. All these millions of ballots are mailed out. And then you have those Democrat nonprofits that were there to do the harvesting en masse. And then there were plenty of mules to show up. Well, why not? If you're going to get 10 bucks a ballot, you turn in a few hundred ballots, it's a nice little cash cow. COVID, of course, as I say, it couldn't have been done without it. Listen to the Washington Post columnist, Philip Bump. Here again, everything that happened last night at 8:32 p.m., by the way, that's when the big political story breaks. Just step back for a moment and think about what these deranged, demonic lunatics have been doing for 5-6 years now. The way that they went after Donald Trump like rabid dogs from the beginning, unleashing the FBI and the DOJ on all things Trump before he even gets into office, unleashing Mueller and that supposed investigation, which was really a cover-up, for years. Trump-Russia collusion. Talk about misinformation. Talk about disinformation. You got that gal Jankowicz. She was leading the way. Covering up the Hunter laptop. All of that. And what's been the prime motivation of all of this? It's been to keep Donald Trump out of office or to get him out. And they did do that on November 3rd, 2020. Or November 7, to be more precise. That's when the media, the propagandists in the media, anointed Joe Biden as the illegitimate president. Through it all, you could not bring up, well, at least since 2020, the end of it there, you could not bring up election steal. All that's transpired since that time meant to cover up the steal. The January 6 hoax, the censorship, Donald Trump being kicked off Twitter, the constant refrain, no evidence, no evidence, or perfect election, perfectly secure. Listen to the Washington Post. And you can tell this author here, Philip Bump, he's not watched the documentary, probably won't watch it. But this is his response last week to the documentary that Dinesh put together. By the way, Dinesh, if you remember 2014, a campaign finance violation, and Obama's Justice Department, they lock him up for 8 months. He's got 5 years probation. Think about all of the way that the Hillary Clinton campaign managed or mismanaged finances to create all of this opposition research, to come up with this bogus disinformation, to spend tens of thousands of dollars doing it. Dinesh D'Souza, he donated $10,000 to a Senate campaign back in whenever the year was. And Obama's people, they got him on campaign finance violations, and he went off to jail for 8 months. Listen, Obama's people know. They know how powerful a filmmaker can be. If he puts together the information, the video, the evidence in a compelling way, there's a lot to be said for video together with the spoken word. And what we saw last night, 2,000 mules, that's a powerful, powerful message. And the more people see it, the more their eyes are going to be opened. For a year and a half, there has been this coordinated effort led by Barack Obama to blot out the truth when it comes to this subject. And like I say, there's a pretty big difference between Mike Lindell, and I think he was on to something, but to listen to him deliver the message and to kind of ramble on, and then you hear these guys, Charlie Kirk, Larry Elder, Dennis Prager, Dinesh D'Souza. It's a powerful message, and a lot of people are going to see it. This is the Washington Post in response. It says, before we get into the new news, let's review the old news. You see how it's carefully framed from the beginning? Listen, that's old news. We've already established the fact that there's no evidence. What's the new news? Oh, there's a leak. There's a leak from the Supreme Court. It's unprecedented. It's never happened before. This could overturn Roe v. Wade. If you were listening to the hearings at the end of last year, you knew this was coming. Listen to me. The leak is from a draft opinion from 2 months ago. The actual official opinion is to come out 2 months from now. But the leak happens on May the 2nd at 8:32 p.m. And Rachel Maddow runs with it at 9 p.m. And then it's on Morning Joe this morning. And it's all over the news cycle. Right and left. Laura Ingraham, she's beside herself last night. I can't believe, what a serious breach of confidentiality. And then Judge Roberts this morning saying, we're considering an investigation. Oh yeah, let's get the FBI into this. This could be the new January 6th. We've got to get the DOJ in motion. We've got to make sure that we maintain confidentiality at the highest court in the land. These people know. Think of the reaction. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Look at the reaction. Look at how perfect it was. Just moment. Hillary Clinton, she's at the Met Gala last night wearing a fancy gown. And I mean, she had a perfectly worded tweet. She said last night, this decision is a direct assault on the dignity, rights, and lives of women, not to mention decades of settled law. It will kill and subjugate women. Think of it. 2 seconds ago, they didn't even know what a woman was. It will kill and subjugate women? That's what they say. Never mind the millions and millions of babies that have been snuffed out. What a bizarre and satanic way to look at this. It's going to kill and subjugate women, said Hillary Clinton. Even as the vast majority of Americans think abortion should be legal. What an utter disgrace. Well, if the vast majority think it should be legal, then kick it back to the states like the Constitution says that you should. And then the vast majority are going to make this legal in just about every state. It's true. There'd probably be half or more than half the states that would allow it in some form or fashion. I mean, even the reddest of states are going to allow it. There's probably states that you could come up with on one hand that might put a ban on it. So fine, get on a bus and go have your abortion across state lines. They know this in their heart of hearts. They know this. But part of the theater is to tell you that if five of those justices say, you know what, Roe v. Wade and Casey that came along years later, they're not constitutional. It's not grounded in constitutional law. So let Mississippi decide for itself. Let Texas decide for itself. New York, California, if you want to have millions and millions of abortions, okay, let your state legislature deal with it. So they finally get around to overturning this unconstitutional ruling from 50-some years ago. And the timing, that's what I want you to consider with this. The timing is just perfect. It's perfect. What do we think about what we have to talk about now for the next week and then some? Maybe pack the court. How about that one? Bernie Sanders, he had a tweet last night. Congress must pass legislation that codifies Roe v. Wade. So Congress needs to come up with its version of Roe v. Wade. Pack the court. That's going to be a controversial issue on both sides. The libs want to do it. The conservatives don't. Even people on the court don't want that. And, oh, well, what about the angle of the pressure? Since this is a draft opinion, there's going to be some intense pressure coming on Brett Kavanaugh and whoever else to maybe change his view. I'm not saying these aren't important storylines, but isn't the timing perfect? It's perfect. The draft opinion's two months old. The official opinion's coming out in 2 months. But why, oh, why, on May the 2nd, Monday night, 8:32 p.m., and here comes the big Politico story. And the author, the main author of the story, he's right there on Rachel Maddow as soon as 9 o'clock on the Eastern time zone hits. You can't make this up, as I've said so many times before. Let me back up to the Washington Post piece. Philip Bump says, before we get into the new news, see, look, okay, I'll go back to the old news. There's no evidence. He says here, the rules varied by state. He's talking about Dinesh's film. Take the process of dropping off ballots. In some states, groups could collect and return ballots on behalf of voters, a practice that seems odd at first until you realize that it's a robust way to ensure that votes are actually cast. That's right. This way, you know how they say it. Look, count all the ballots. I mean, that's what they love to see happen. When they've got a million fake ballots, count them all. Count them all, yeah. Count all the. We got to make sure that every ballot counts. And then someone comes along and says, well, hang on a second. It's got to be a legitimate ballot. It can't be a fake one. They lose their minds. They, like the film brings out last night, Republicans, when it comes up to an election cycle, Republicans focus on the campaigning, whereas Democrats focus on the process. You control the vote. If you control how the vote happens or plays out, you control who wins. And that's what we saw following November 3rd. That's why they were boarding up the windows in Detroit, because they didn't want anybody to observe it. They didn't want the poll watchers in there. They wanted to just gather the stacks of mystery ballots and count them up in the dark hours of the night. And now more of that's caught on video than those radical communists had hoped, I'm sure. It says here, this was the rule in Pennsylvania. In other states like Georgia, Michigan, and Arizona, specific people were allowed to return ballots, like family members. Listen to this. Georgia, Michigan, and Arizona, you could bring some other ballots along, but they had to be your family members. So how do you explain, on average, what was it, Philadelphia? On average, it was 24. I think that might have been in the trailer that we played. 24 different drop-off. Boy, that's, whoever that was has a large family. He's really looking out for grandma. Grandma, I'll take it to the ballot drop box at 3 a.m. This is ridiculous. It says, in some cases, it obtained video showing people dropping off multiple ballots. If D'Souza's film shows that the ballots were fraudulent, that's a massive deal. I mean, he does concede that point, that one would assume would have been quickly presented to law enforcement. See, his point is, look, Bill Barr said there was nothing there. Law enforcement hasn't looked into this, so it must be true that there's no evidence. So no matter what he shows you on his film, no matter what True the Vote brings forth, just know that, look, law enforcement hasn't looked into this. So it must not have happened. Let's set aside, it says, the idea that maybe they were caught on tape because they weren't worried about being seen doing what they were doing, or that they were wearing gloves during a pandemic in which people were at first told to worry about contaminated surfaces. They wore the surgical gloves, don't you know? Because they were worried about COVID. That's why they were bouncing around from one ballot box to the next. 24 ballot boxes? It says here, were people returning their families' ballots excluded from being described as mules? Right. So he wants to just continue on with this delusional thinking that these people were just good. They were just good family members, just trying to love their family, appreciate their family, help grandma. You know what else is really sad when you listen or watch D'Souza's documentary is just how that these radical communist cheaters, they target the disadvantaged, the uneducated. They go after homeless people. They go after, remember the story in Wisconsin? They go after the elderly, the incapacitated. They go after the ones who are sick and deranged. I mean that in the literal sense. That you, as one person on the video said last night, if you're stuck in an elderly care home, you're going to be voting because the people running the home will make sure that you vote. They target immigrants coming in that are still learning to speak English. This is how they get out the vote. They're not trying to encourage people to go vote on their own. They're telling them what to do. They're giving them perks in order to do it. And so we come to last night. We get home after the premiere. We flip up the laptop and see that, the big storyline that's going to dominate the news cycle this week is the leak coming out of the Supreme Court. So here you go then. If you've tuned in today to hear the media meltdown, here's a 1 minute montage of the reaction to the Supreme Court leak from last night, clip 14.
Is the state that is allowed to force women to bring unwanted pregnancies to term means that we are on the precipice of becoming a very different country. And our daughters and granddaughters living in a very, very different world.
Honestly, I want to cry. I want to cry in so many different ways.
But... And I cannot believe that I'm sitting here, Jim, in the year of 2022, a right that I was born into a society that had, that my mother had, that my grandmother had, that my great-grandmothers in her lifetime had, that with the stroke of a pen, someone can simply say a fundamental right that is within a zone of privacy that the court has said should be hands off for the government, with the stroke of a pen, can be taken away. There are a lot of things now on the chopping block.
Just mind-blowing on many levels. This is the kind of news that rocks your world as a woman.
You know, Mika, I was reading that in Chicago in the 1960s, there were 4,000 emergency room visits per week in Chicago based on emergency medical need for botched abortions. That's where we're headed.
I mean, this is an opinion that Robert Bork would have written. This is not an opinion that most justices who have lived in our lifetimes would have written. And Robert Bork, of course, was rejected for the court because of these views.
So they all had their talking points ready to go as soon as the story is posted at 8:32. Even Hillary, off at the Met Gala. She had a carefully worded tweet ready to go. Bernie Sanders, I mentioned his. Listen to this from Senator Ed Markey. He tweeted out, a stolen, illegitimate, and far-right Supreme Court majority appears set to destroy the right to abortion, an essential right which protects the health, safety, and freedom of millions of Americans. There is no other recourse. We must expand the court. We have to pack the court because of this. But notice what he says at the start, a stolen, illegitimate, and far-right Supreme Court majority. What he's saying there is that the 2016 election was illegitimate. And that because Trump got in there illegitimately, the Russians got him in. Keep that in mind. Even though the Russia collusion narrative has never had any evidence, there's no evidence of it. But in his mind, he's a senator from Massachusetts. And he says Trump was illegitimate, Trump was a fraud, and so Gorsuch, Coney Barrett, and Kavanaugh are illegitimate. We have no choice. We've got to put 15 seats in the Supreme Court and pack it with six radical left-wing communists, and we've got to do it quick because we might lose some of our seats in November. What he said in that tweet would get you, if you're on the other side, would get you labeled an insurrectionist. and canceled from social media and possibly put in jail if you wandered into the Capitol on January 6th to take a selfie. They can go on and on and on about, many of them were calling for violence last night. We have no choice. It's like the summer of 2020. They won't listen to us otherwise. This is from The Federalist. It says, Star Trek George Takei and progressive squad member, Representative Jayapal. So here's a congresswoman, called for Americans to take to the streets and riot as they did during the 2020 Summer of Rage. So Senator Markey says 2016 was stolen and that we need to pack the court because of it. And then this congresswoman, Jayapal, she says we need to take to the streets and riot. These are people in D.C. Of course we can't have time. We can't look at any evidence that Dinesh D'Souza or anyone else brings forward. We've got to riot. We've got to riot. Look at what they're trying to do. They're trying to prevent women from ever getting an abortion. And they know that's a lie. It says here, first they came for black votes. Then they targeted LGBTQ plus families. Now women of America. They're overruling Roe v. Wade. We have to unite and strike back. Take to the streets. Overwhelm them at the ballot box. They have gone too far. I forget if that's Jayapal, I think it is. It's either her or the Star Trek guy. Pretty amazing to watch this play out. Who's behind it all? Who's behind it all? I just want to refer you back to this statement that Barack Obama made. This wasn't just this past weekend, but the weekend before. So what, 8, 9, 10 days ago? But he was talking about, you know, blotting out or the ones who moderate the content on social media sites, and that how obviously, I mean, you've got to have regulations that prevent certain forms of speech from ever seeing the light of day on Twitter or Facebook or wherever. This is Barack Obama from a week and a half ago, clip 10.
Now, the good news is that almost all the big tech platforms now acknowledge some responsibility for content on their platforms, and they're investing in large teams of people to monitor it. Still, in talking to people at these companies, I believe they are sincere in trying to limit content that engages in hate speech, encourages violence, or poses a threat to public safety.
So all of these billionaires that control the social media sites, they've got good intentions, and they are trying to curtail hate speech. And you know what hate speech means to Barack Obama and Zuckerberg and all the others. But then he says at the end of this spiel, listen to this. This is clip 11.
But while content moderation can limit the distribution of clearly dangerous content, it doesn't go far enough.
Content moderation from these social media sites doesn't go far enough. And 6 days after he stated that, Tulsi Gabbard brought this out yesterday. 6 days after he stated that, Biden's team comes out with this Ministry of Disinformation, or the Ministry of Truth, to quote Orwell, the Jankowicz lady. And I mean, they're on a mission. They've got to take it a step further, because the content moderators at Facebook and Twitter and elsewhere, especially now with Elon Musk coming on board at Twitter, we've got to take it farther. And so here comes the DHS. And look, it's easy to dismiss Jankowicz as a buffoon singing on TikTok and all those other things that just look like she's in a high school musical or something. But look, she's backed by the DHS. The DHS is backed by Barack Obama. Listen to Jankowicz from I think this is from 2020, clip 9.
And we've lost sight of the fact that our own government, and certainly President Trump himself, has dealt in disinformation and normalized disinformation over the past 4 years, to the extent that there is no disincentive for most politicians to traffic in it anymore. And this, again, as I mentioned at the beginning, should not be a partisan issue.
See, Trump is the purveyor of disinformation. He's the target. So if a conservative responds to this and says, well, look, you covered up Hunter's laptop. Doesn't matter. This is Obama's choice. She's an expert. She's an expert in disinformation. The target she's aiming for is all things Trump. That's been the target since he came down the escalator in 2015. So this has been going on, again, for 6-7 years. It's important to step back and to get perspective. What are they trying to cover up? What are they trying to prevent? Think about my statement, my father's statement, I should say, from 2018? We're getting a hard look at what these people are willing to do to maintain their grip on power. They control so many of the levers of power in government, and look at how they're using it. Look at how they're abusing it. Look at what they're getting away with. Look at the lawlessness. They're living in this myopic little bubble. And anything outside of it, that's the real threat facing the United States of America. You may have seen the clip over the weekend, this New York Times hit job on Tucker Carlson. I thought somebody interviewed the woman that wrote this piece and listened to her talk about practically being tortured because she had to actually view a Tucker Carlson program, or many of them, I guess, clip 12.
Karen, I want to ask you what it was like for you to watch all these hours of Tucker Carlson's show.
It was revealing in a way that I can't even describe. I mean, I had no idea. I had not watched the show before this project.
She's a New York Times columnist or journalist, and she's never seen Tucker Carlson before this project, before this hit piece. So how's that for someone who has absolutely no context, or whose perspective is only as wide as the communist narrative will allow? They stay within their echo chamber, these people. And to step outside of it, it's frightening. It's frightening to these people. Listen to her again, clip 13.
I had not watched the show before this project, and the people who read the New York Times, who most likely don't watch the show on a regular basis, could feel what it's like, because I think it's easy to dismiss what he's saying as, you know, just another cable TV news host, but he's way more powerful, and the content is way more dangerous than I think what anybody realizes, unless you're watching the show on a daily basis.
Yeah.
The last bit doesn't make sense to me. It's not dangerous to those watching it regularly, but it is dangerous. See, it's more than content from the other side. It's dangerous. That's the category that Tucker is in. That's the category that Donald Trump is in. That's the category that Dinesh D'Souza is in. They understand the popularity of Tucker. They look at that round table of Elder and Prager and D'Souza and Gorka, and it does concern them. It does bother them. They know there's a large audience following all of those commentators. So what's their strategy then? If there's a big production coming out that's basically showing you what happened in and around November 3rd, 2020, the strategy is to blot it out, to not give it a voice, to make sure that it's not talked about, to make sure it's not in the news cycle. But what do we have in the news cycle? I mean, what we do have is a spectacular revelation, never before happened in the Supreme Court. Never seen anything like it. Here's another thing about leaks. Who does the leak benefit? Always and forever, it benefits the Obama people. It's never meant to benefit the other side. They're the enemy. They're dangerous. This leak was planned. It was strategic. It was revealed at the precise moment that Barack Obama wanted it to be revealed. And so we can go on and on with the back and forth. Which clerk was it? Was it Sotomayor? Maybe it was Roberts. He's in the middle. Is he going to be with the conservatives or not? There's so much to talk about. It's Roe v. Wade, after all. They're going to take away the rights of a woman to ever get an abortion again. So you can prepare to receive, if you watch the major networks, you can prepare to receive a steady diet of that in the days and probably weeks ahead. If you step back and just consider the hearing that they had and the questions that the judges had back in, what was it, November or December, you knew this was coming. You knew it was coming, but the outrage that was manufactured last night and this morning, it's all calculated. These people, if you understand the spiritual dimension behind it, if you think about that demon army referred to in Daniel 8, of course this is how they operate. They're always gonna play dirty. They're always going to cheat. They're always lawless. That's the way the devil is. He's a lawless being, and he thinks he's right. And he comes as an angel of light, and he says, look, I've never even watched Tucker Carlson, to be honest. But, boy, I got a little ways into it. So dangerous. It's you, the other side, that's dangerous. It's Dinesh D'Souza. He's dangerous. I mean, we got him on a campaign violation, after all. A campaign violation? Think about all that these communists have gotten away with. And now the question is, following this evidence, on video, will there be anyone to do anything about it? 2 Kings 14, the affliction is bitter. There's no help. No help. This is from my father last January, so this is 2021, a little over a year ago. It says, the radical left in America have done everything in their power for the last 4 years to discredit and destroy President Donald Trump. They have spied. They have lied. They have cheated. They have broken laws too numerous to count. They have committed treason, trying to depose the duly elected government, and somehow President Trump has weathered all those storms. Somehow, he's going to probably weather this storm coming out from the Supreme Court. The evidence put forward on 2,000 mules, it must be compelling for the radical left to go to this length to try to drown it out, to try to blot it out. It says here, what the left is doing now, all this theater aimed at bullying people into accepting Joe Biden as president is more of the same. It should come as no surprise. See, just look at the track record. Jesus told us to judge by fruits. Look at what they've been doing from the very beginning. They accuse you of not accepting the results of the 2020 election. Even as Senator Markey says, look, three of those Supreme Court justices are illegitimate because I don't accept the 2016 election. And where's the evidence that election was stolen? Where's the documentaries? You're seriously going to base that whole case on a couple of mysterious Russian Facebook accounts that put an ad out? That's the extent of it? We've got mules on video stuffing ballot boxes all over the country, and we've only examined a tiny, tiny little sliver in Arizona, in Georgia, in Philadelphia, in Michigan, in Wisconsin. It says here, many on the left want a civil war. Some have already declared war. I think that congresswoman called for it last night. Hey, we got to do some more rioting. That'll distract people away from D'Souza's film, for sure. If we start burning down cities, I mean, look at how much it accomplished us in the summer of 2020. It says here, they certainly want to bring the nation to the point where they can pounce on their opponents and destroy them, and they are going all out. You got to give them credit for going all out. They go for the kill. You ask a couple of Republicans, hey, if you do take the majority, would you consider impeaching Joe Biden? Over to you, Jack. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. This level of cowardice, weakness. It says here, America has changed like you have never seen it change. In just months or even weeks into a different country, it's not the country it was a couple years ago or even at the start of 2022. This is my father writing back in January of 2021. It says here, if you were to get the wrong leader in charge, things would quickly grow far worse because there are powers behind them that want to rule this nation and rule it their way. They don't want freedom. They don't want freedom. They want to tell you what to do, and you have to do it, or else. They're not for free and fair elections. Therefore, doing whatever they can to maintain their grip on power and to then tell you what to do. It was so much more. The lockdowns, all the COVID protocols and whatnot. It was so much more, we now see. So much more than just telling you what to do. You stay in your basement. You can't operate your place of business. You know, unless you're the wealthy elite class. But leave that aside. You just listen to, added to all of that, they were basically saying, you're going to vote. You're going to submit to the process that we've laid out for this vote, this presidential election. And that is, if millions and millions of ballots are going out, okay, some of you hard-head red staters, if you want to still go to the polling station on November 3rd, fine. But just so you know, there's going to be millions and millions of other ballots coming in the dark hours of night because those poor people had COVID. And they didn't want to catch COVID. Or they didn't want to get COVID, I meant to say. We're just doing it because we care about grandma. We care about the Hispanic community. We care about the homeless. We care about those who are disadvantaged. So much so that, you know, we'll fill out the ballot for them, I guess. So much lawlessness. So much corruption. The other article, the classic one now, this is from, I don't think I have time for another clip. Let me just conclude with Saving America from the Radical Left. Remember that one? May 2018. Here's the statement. You'll never forget it because I repeat it dozens and dozens of times. My father says here, we are getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and stay in power. Wow. We certainly are getting a hard look at that. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, and hopefully we'll see you again tomorrow.